Happy Friday, everyone. The weekend is here, and we're back with another episode of The Success Bug. If you don't know me by now, my name is Jay Washington. Every other week, I interview another young, successful, relatable entrepreneur. They share their story with me, in turn share their story through the audience. We all learn together, inspiring you all to escape the 9-to-5, one episode at a time. Great change of pace this week. We haven't had a guest on the show like this, I think, ever. So it's really cool that we're able to bring this guest on. Jaromir Kabla, you may know him from his travel content at Travel with Jaro, pretty much everywhere, but especially on TikTok, where he has literally 891,000 followers as of right now. About a year ago, he dropped everything, moved across the world, and chased his dreams to be a travel filmmaker. And now he's gotten to the point where he was able to quit his remote job and now does travel filmmaking full time. And now you get to learn all about his story and how he was able to make it happen, how he's living in Bali, how he's lived in all sorts of places all over the world, and is doing it on his own while being paid. Please enjoy Jaromir Kabla. Well, I'm glad we can finally do this, man. It's cool that you're literally, it's 12, what is it, 12 p.m. by you, literally opposite of what I'm at right now.
Yes, thank you so much for making the time. Now
no, it's all good. I'm a night owl myself, so it's all good.
Yeah,
so what's it like over there? You're in Bali right now.
Yeah, so I'm currently at a coffee shop, you know, my main workspace.
Okay.
Traveling around and trying to find decent places to work apart from just spending time editing at home. Dude, Bali has been absolutely incredible since I got here. Spent a lot of time surfing over here. Nature is ridiculous.
Yeah.
People are amazing. Honestly, out of like traveling to all the places I've been around the world, traveling to Bali, Indonesia has had like the most beautiful, open-minded people.
Really?
So it's been really cool connecting with not just the local people, but a lot of the expats that have moved over here. Everyone's real welcoming. So it's been cool being a part of that community.
For sure. So you've been traveling the world for, I guess, almost 2 years now, for the most part. How many countries have you been to, and how many different places would you say you've been to, if you can pull a number from the top of your head?
Yeah. So I've been traveling the past couple of years, and that's mainly been slow travel. So I've been spending, especially when COVID first started, I spent about 8 months in New Zealand. I hopped onto a sailboat that took me to Fiji.
Okay. Okay.
I spent about a sailboat. 6 months in Fiji. Yeah. Never sailed in my life. It was a 24-hour decision. It was insane.
Okay.
then hopped on over to California to visit some family. My family just moved over there, so that was really nice, especially because Fiji was a third world. So I got stuck over there for about 6 months after taking our chances, me and my ex-partner.
That doesn't sound like the worst place in the world to get stuck.
you know, it wasn't, but if you're in the creative industry and that's all you want to be doing and you want to be creating with like-minded people, it's a hard place.
You want to start going to other places and continuing to diversify, right?
Yeah, especially in like a third world too. That was just like, you know, I definitely hit a pretty decent burnout when
little culture shock there. My staying there like for 6 months longer than you anticipated.
Yeah, first third world country, and I'm planning on coming to many more, but just to be stuck over there and to be limited, it almost kind of brought that, growing up in Hawaii, it almost kind of brought that sense of island fever where you're just in one place for such a long time.
Yeah.
And
so you seem like you get a little like antsy, like you need to go somewhere, somewhere else, right? Like that's kind of the vibe.
You know, like I really love to slow travel, but I wanted to, the reason I came to Bali in the first place was because I knew this, like creatively, this place was going to offer a lot and people that I could really connect with. So I've been wanting to come here for a really long time. As of 2 years ago, I've been in, back home to the US. I went to New Zealand, Fiji, and then now in Indonesia.
Wow.
Just slow traveling, and I plan on picking it up a bit. It's been really special spending, 6 months and up in each country, but I plan on picking it up this following year. I'm actually leaving here in about a month and going to spend a little bit of time at home in Hawaii. Right. You know, as much as I love the fast kind of travel, I love to slow travel too. And but that's like what it's about, you know, putting yourself out there, you know, whether a place will be right for you or not. They're all different from where you grew up. Every place is so unique. So
for sure. So that's actually a good segue because you mentioned Hawaii a couple times, and I grew up in New York in the suburbs. So I mean, I could be wrong here, but I have to imagine growing up in Hawaii is a little bit different than growing up in New York. Like, how was that like coming up in the probably the most beautiful state that the United States has for the most part?
Man, honestly, it was incredible. Probably comparable to here in Bali. I think that's why I've spent a decent amount of time here. It kind of reminds me of home. Right. Super laid back. Everyone's real open-minded. Surf culture. Pretty decent creative industry just because it's like, you know, for being a set of islands, it's pretty developed on its own. So yeah, it was really cool being a part of that. And it really rooted me in what I appreciate and what I was brought up to love. And that really shows up in the work that I'm doing at the moment too.
For sure. So, I mean, how for you to be doing what you're doing now, which is travel content, travel film content, a lot of people know who you are. I mean, you have a huge following on both, you know, Instagram and TikTok for the most part, which is where you have made a really big name for yourself. How do you even, you know, start to consider getting into that type of field? Like, you've always loved travel, but what made you actually take that leap and actually try to make it something that was part of your life and really your entire life?
Yeah, you know, I think something that changed that for me was I'm actually originally from the Czech Republic, and my family, my family made us move over to Hawaii when I was 5 years old, and I absolutely hated it. You know,
why
like when you're, my family just wanted to learn how to speak English. I'm like, you're moving to Hawaii of all places to learn how to speak English.
Listen, you shouldn't have been complaining. I don't know why you were complaining.
No, but
you could have you could have foiled the entire plan there, man. You're lucky that you didn't end up in Ohio or something. No.
Super grateful. But you know, as like a 5 year old, your whole world is being torn apart. You're like, I can't believe this.
You end up in you know, Nebraska, Wisconsin, like you got Hawaii.
No, I appreciate you, you know, shining the light on that for me a little bit. But yeah, so I moved there when I was 5, and I think that really set the pace of wanting to see something, you know, wanting this, and also being constricted to like a set of islands where you have to fly 5 hours to get to another state. I feel like that really set the pace for me wanting to travel and wanting to see more. When I was about 12 years old, I got into shooting surf photography, which I was super passionate about. Quit that after a while. I realized I just wanted to be surfing and not taking photos of people doing it.
Right. Fair enough.
But spending a lot of time in the water really rooted me in nature. Dude, I love spending time in nature up in the mountains.
I can see by your background, dude. You enjoy nature. did you feel disconnected at all? Like, did you feel disconnected from the rest of, I don't want to say the world, but you know, Hawaii is separated from the United States. So did that kind of make you, did that play a role in your longing to kind of see the rest of the world? Cause you felt a little detached.
You know, somewhat for sure. I mean, you feel like you grew up on a little rock and you feel like there's this great big world out there that you have yet to see. You know, there's no road trips with your family or no driving 10 hours to another state or in whatnot. So it was that and really falling in love with nature growing up that really gave me the hunger to explore and get to know new cultures. And so, you know, I was going to do absolutely anything it took to be able to do that. And watching my passion of shooting and creating, it kind of fizzled when I was shooting surf photography. But I brought that in again when I started spending more time in nature. Going out and just creating with friends was something that I really fell in love with growing up. And, you know, taking opportunity to opportunity, for a long time now, I felt like that was something that I was going to work really hard towards and, you know, be able to manifest something into my life as long as I put in the work. And, you know, more recently, things have just totally been taking off.
For sure. You probably couldn't have even seen that coming. It seems like it was very much a step into uncharted waters for you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No pun intended, because you're in uncharted. You literally are in been in uncharted waters, but that wasn't a pun.
Yes. But obviously, entrepreneurially, you're just taking the opportunities that are handed to you, and you just you're really just working with what you have. And social media, and then TikTok taking a turn in that direction was an opportunity that I saw about 12 months ago. You know, you have all the people on the side that are going to tell you that it's stupid, or people are using people are using TikTok to, isn't that just for little kids? Or like, it had this background that really made
stigma attached to it. That it was dancing and children and stupid and stuff. Yeah, for sure.
And it made you resistant towards using it if you're planning on taking it that way. But I spent about 4 years working as head of marketing for my family's massage therapy clinic.
Wow. Okay. I was going to ask, actually, did you have any type of job? Like, what did you feel the need to like get a job at some point? And like, then you came back to travel filmmaking because, you didn't like working a job at all.
Yeah. So that's the job that I've been working for a long time. And I've been so blessed to be able to do that with my family, where I'd have the freedom to be able to work on my own side hustles and kind of do that secondarily. And as long as I'm traveling to cheaper destinations, I don't need a ton of money to be able to work up my audience or my following. I just need to be making enough to be able to keep traveling and keep telling a story. So I've been super blessed to have that. And it kind of gave me a hunger, working in marketing almost gives you like a sharper eye towards, finding opportunities and having to build up my family's business. I just applied everything back into my own, into what I was working on. And as soon as I found out the amount of potential you could have in growth on, TikTok primarily, and then Instagram catching up with Instagram Reels as well as YouTube Shorts, all three platforms are like competing with each other. Yeah. And if you're a part of it in that, in the,
the space. I mean,
yeah, in the space. Yeah, when everyone's things turn to chaos, and there's always opportunity in that, especially when these platforms are trying to compete.
They're literally. Not to cut you off, but it kind of seems like they're really creating like three platforms, and they really want people to adopt theirs, so they're allowing people to grow, and they're allowing people to put their stuff out there and actually have it be put in front of other people's eyes, right?
Absolutely.
So I get, so what was like the first step for you to actually do all this? Cause everything on your TikTok is about how cheap everything is and how it's very possible to do all the things that you're doing aside from just, living your free life and actually traveling the world and being paid to do it, which you talk about a little bit too, but in general, generally speaking, like how were you, what was the first step in making your first trip happen or your first step toward actually doing this full time and traveling as your career almost?
Yeah. So there's definitely a bit of background in that. And I have a strong, I guess, relationship with not just quitting the 9-to-5, but leaving everyone's expectations of you. And, all eyes, like me leaving home wasn't just me leaving the 9-to-5, but it was me leaving everything behind to be a bit more of myself and to follow my passions and to do what I wanted to do. It didn't exactly happen when I first got to New Zealand. I got stirred in all sorts of directions. In the back of my mind, I always knew what I wanted to do. Yeah. And I grew up in Hawaii and I met a girl that I ended up moving out to the West Coast for. And
California,
I went to Oregon for about 6 months.
I feel like you did mention Oregon last time we talked.
Yeah. Yeah. And a Christian university, this was like totally different from like what I grew up.
Okay. Went into like the boonies of Oregon. It's like what I was talking about earlier. You're lucky you didn't end up here when you were complaining about Hawaii, man.
I got sent into the dungeon, but it does not matter. I was so in love. Anything was going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
So that was a lot different from growing up in Hawaii. you know, it was a pretty interesting place, that's for sure. And
for sure.
I ended up moving up to Vancouver for a little bit too. And this, I kind of stepped into like the most anxious period of my life was me starting to feel completely suffocated by my relationship and neglecting everything that I was so rooted in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't shooting content. I wasn't creating. I was just spending time with my girlfriend, and I was so blind to neglecting myself and what I loved to do. And in return, it really showed up physically, and it was the most stressed out, anxious for sure. You know, reasons I couldn't even explain, because that was before I learned a lot more about myself. And it just got to a point where it got so bad, and I had to strip myself of that, had to break up with her.
Now at this time, were you still working as head of marketing for your parents' company? And that was all you were doing, and you weren't focusing on traveling at all?
No, I wasn't even shooting content. I just had a dream of wanting to create travel films, and didn't really have the community for it. Definitely wasn't in the mindset for it at the time. Yeah. And you know, everyone has their time. And I had to, you know, strip myself of that. I was working as head of marketing, so I had a little bit of income coming in. You know, I was making maybe $1,000 or $1,500 a month. It didn't matter. I was, you know, either sleeping at someone's house, sleeping on my friend's floor, or
it's crazy. See, honestly though, it is very crazy, because I feel like you doing that made you adopt that kind of hitchhiker mentality, which you've kind of used while you're traveling, and just which you kind of communicate in your content all the time.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's like absolutely possible. And I love sharing that message with people. It's not just leaving the 9-to-5, but yeah, if people want to travel, it's absolutely possible to do it with little or no money. You do whatever it takes, and, you know, same with leaving the 9-to-5 and trying to create your own hustle. You just do whatever it takes if you want it bad enough.
Right. So you were just like sleeping on people's couches, just like kind of making it work while you were up in Vancouver.
So I was actually living with my girlfriend at the time, living with her family. They lived on a farm, which was, I have nothing bad to say about that really. Yeah. I have nothing bad to say about the relationship, but personally, it was eating away at me. Had to break up with her. I drove 20 hours down the coast, and I slept on my friend's floor for 2 months as I was trying to figure out what the hell I was going to do with my life.
Yeah.
And so I ended up booking a one-way ticket to New Zealand, which was just before things started getting insane.
So we're talking what, like February 2020 here?
Yeah, February. I love February. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So spent some time there, and it was crazy. The amount of personal growth I went through there was absolutely insane. Definitely not the time for content, but more of like finding myself and learning more about myself, until I met one guy. His name was Luke. He's actually a software engineer from Silicon Valley, super like hustler mindset. He's working on his startup and whatnot. And
you met him in New Zealand.
I met him in New Zealand. You know, this guy is so wild. He's got like a mullet and a mustache, and just, it's so far out and crazy. You wouldn't expect him to be working in like,
what was he Silicon doing? Valley. Like surfing under a bungalow and like with a waterfall in the background while with dolphins flying in the back of him. Like where did you find this guy?
Just all things rowdy with this guy. But I met him in a little surf town called Raglan, and you know, we got to be pretty close. He was actually on the boat with me that took up to Fiji. And nice. You know, just before we left to Fiji, this whole time in New Zealand, I was there for like 7 or 8 months. I was making a little bit of money. I also sold my car, so I had some money. I was just blowing it on partying with people at the time. And, you know, wasn't really, I didn't do what I wanted to do in New Zealand or what I set out to do there until I met this guy named Luke, who asked me. I kept talking to him about my dreams and what I wanted to do as a travel filmmaker.
Yeah.
And we just before the trip, we got to the point where he asked me, dude, why don't you just start now? Because I kept saying, oh, I'll just start my filmmaking journey or my content creation journey when I get to this place or when I get to that place. You know, that
meanwhile, you're in one of the most beautiful places in New Zealand. Is that what he said?
Yeah, excuses couldn't get any worse. Yeah. He's like, dude, why don't you just start now? I'm like, you're absolutely right. What am I doing with my life? And like, it just took such a simple question for me to, totally change my mindset. I worked on my first travel film, and that's where I started my TikTok account after hearing about how much opportunity there was and growth on that. I worked on a few videos. I think about a month later, I had, or maybe even like the first few videos, a couple of them went viral, and I really saw the opportunity and being able to grow on that. And, for a while I was just posting content that wasn't super aligned with what I was doing, but me just wanting to grow an audience. And then I finally
play around with it, right?
Yeah. Definitely just explore that a bit. And then I finally found, I'm like, why do I keep creating content that isn't even aligned with what I'm doing? I just started creating content about things that I was passionate about, which was budget travel, traveling the world. And being able to share my message with people was so important to me. So, then I started seeing, more and more growth. TikTok was kind of throwing its fishing line out on me.
To the tune of 900,000 followers. we're putting a number to it now, I think.
It's been wild. That happened about 3 months ago. I had a video completely blow up. I don't know if you know about Puberty on Instagram, but there's really big accounts that shared one of my videos, and I just started putting out content like that, and everything was growing, really rapidly. I was just learning from what was doing really well, posting things that are aligned with my niche and my values. Just, overall, you don't want to burn yourself out in the long run. So if I'm posting things that are, if I'm, sharing things with my audience that aren't aligned with who I am, I'm probably going to hit a point in my life where I'm questioning everything. So,
do you still work now as head of marketing, and kind of you continue to use, or have you gone all in at this point on just travel filmmaking?
It brings a smile to my face. I quit my job a month and a half ago.
All right. Congratulations though, for real. That's awesome.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it. Yeah, that was a huge step in, moving a bit closer to exactly what I want.
That had to have been, because when you moved to New Zealand, right? Like, you were still working, even though you were there. It's like it was being supported by the fact that you were working. Like, I mean, you're still working now, but what you're doing is literally what you had been doing before, but now it's just everything, right?
Yeah, now it's everything. And, I'm so stoked about it. And it's like, even if I'm posting stuff, like, my main goal behind what I'm doing is to create inspiring travel, far out travel films. We have a couple of crazy things coming up, crazy films that I want to work on, such as I'm thinking about hitchhiking across the US next summer and just telling the story behind that, having really raw adventures, one in places that show you different cultures or stuff that really pushes you as a person is what I'd want to share with people. A lot of it stems from once I left home and really cut myself off from that lifestyle just to be a bit more of myself. So I'm so passionate about, what you talk about is, not cutting yourself off, but just being, just leaving the nine to five to go and.
Again, I made this joke when we first talked, but I have a 9-to-5, so it's very funny. Like, I'm sure a lot of people listening to this know me and know that I do have a job, but yeah, you're right. It is something that it's more of just showing people that there's another option. It doesn't have to just be a 9-to-5, because like a 9-to-5 literally helped you do what you're doing now. And like that can't be undermined almost, right? Like, you have to acknowledge that. You can't just tell this fairy tale like, "Oh, quit your job and just do what you love." Like, people have bills to pay; they have stuff to do. So, like, it's hard to tell them to do that. And I feel like your story, in and of itself, is very reflective of what the actual experience is, right?
Yeah. People constantly ask you about where you started, and it really isn't like a fairy tale. You have to put in, you have to work your ass off, and you got to put in so much work. You're not just gonna. Sometimes if you're building up a ton of money and you quit your job, maybe you could work on a project that you could get lucky with that could that could really grow. But for the most part, I think people just are usually working a job and working on their you know, hustles at the same time. And I think mentally that pushes you and gives you a bit more grit than you having the option to pull out of that.
For sure. I mean, you talked about how much it took to, what did it really look like for you in terms of growing as quickly as you did, not just on TikTok, but overall just creating films? Like, what was that process like for you, and how quickly did it happen? And when did you reach that point where you're like, oh, this is really working. Like, this could be what I do full time.
Yeah. So I saw a decent amount of potential with the TikTok stuff as I was leaving New Zealand. At the same time, I was working on my own travel film. It was like a 24-hour decision we had in sailing from New Zealand to Fiji. I never learned how to sail. It was like a 7-day passage. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So I, you know, wanted to take the chance to film that, which actually led into a lot when we were in Fiji as well. Yeah. I was on a boat for about
you talked about the sailboat. We're gonna have to talk about the sailboat.
okay.
Just threw in like, yeah, I was on like a dinghy for like 2 months. Like, I was like, what?
Well, okay, we'll have to leave that for you know, a little bit down the line. But while I was in Fiji, the third world country,
right,
trying to create content by myself, sometimes with my girlfriend. I was just really exploring and learning a lot more about filmmaking at the time, but really putting in the time as well as working on my job, because I moved to a cheaper country. It was, being in Fiji, it was a lot more affordable. I was able to save up a little bit of money, spend more money on filmmaking gear and stuff like that. You know, if you're living in the US, it's kind of hard to afford anything. Like, I
can't even wipe your ass out here.
Like,
it's true.
What do I pay? I live with my parents in the US. It's like, go to a cheap country, and you know, I was able to
toilet paper is like $15 out here today, man.
It's ridiculous. So because I had my job, I was able to save up a little bit of money. Every additional little bit would go back into buying new gear you know, whatever it took and building up my profiles. I was constantly experimenting with a lot, doing research, learning from people on YouTube. I never took any courses or anything. It was always just, if I want to learn something, I was just learning off of different YouTube videos. Yeah. And so before I hit, you know, a real breakthrough in my TikTok videos, I'd been creating content. I think it was about 8 or 9 months, posting 3 to 5 times a day, like minimum.
And on like people, you TikTok or like on other platforms?
On TikTok.
Just wow. Okay. Wow. That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, doing that for 8 or 9 months, you often hit points whether you question whether it'll be worth it or not. But if you love something enough, then, and you see the opportunity behind it, then it's like, you just have to, you know, push through it. And yeah, I don't know. I just hit that crazy breakthrough about 2 months ago. And now it's just been me trying to.
How crazy was that then? Cause I feel like even for a while, I feel like I had followed you for a while and you had a ton of followers. Was there like a point where you really blew up and then got to where you are now, which is like almost 900,000? Because you were still getting tons of views almost. It just probably isn't what it is now, right?
Yeah. So it took about 8 months for me to build up an audience of like 100 and 150,000. I was posting
a ton of people.
I was posting the weirdest videos though. You know, I was posting shark spoofs where I'd be running into the water. I would jump into the water and then I'd see a shark and cut into like somebody else's video of a shark, and just things that I knew we're going to get a lot of people's attention.
Okay.
Yeah. And before I actually got into the niche that I was in. And,
whatever works, man.
It was a good start for sure.
Yeah.
And then when I got to Bali, and I posted that one video, I went to bed at night and put a lot of time into this one video after traveling around Bali for a bit. I had enough content to put in and share a lot of information with people on what it was like to budget travel Bali. So I did a bit of brainstorming. I put this one video together. I went to bed, feeling really good about what I just put out. Woke up in the morning and I think I gained like 30 to 50,000 followers overnight.
In one day. In one night.
I wake up, I look at my phone, and if you know, and you know, if you spend a lot of time on social media and you see a lot of notifications, it was like, you know,
like you couldn't like, even see your phone almost turned off. Did you have to scroll through all that, or do they just tell you, hey, like you might want to look at this?
Yeah, I was just, I personally, I turn off my notifications to give myself a bit of sanity when I'm working,
right?
Keep my work boundaries.
Probably a good choice, yeah.
Especially if you're like trying to work in social media. I opened up my TikTok account, and it was just this, you know, this
tons explosion of stuff.
And I was like, man, this is going to be insane. The next couple of days are going to be insane.
And was that when puberty reposted you? Is that what happened? Or was it just one video happened to really blow up?
I think it took a couple of weeks, but there was so many people reaching out to me for promos or travel companies that wanted to do campaigns with me.
Yeah.
People reaching out to me, you know, for so many different reasons. And I was just trying to figure out how to gauge all of it. At the same time, I had two different management agencies reach out to me that wanted to recruit me. I'm actually signed with both of them at the moment, and
wow,
they're great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, just trying to really see how I could ride that out as well as possible without like riding this high too much. I just wanted to figure out how to ride that out as well as I can so I could keep like the upwards,
you didn't want to get like complacent almost,
momentum going. Yeah, so basically I just took myself a little more seriously. Yeah. Started posting so much and connecting with different people, brainstorming content,
right,
putting more out, connecting with management agencies, trying to get campaigns going. And yeah, so over the next few days, I can't remember the exact timeline. I was taking screenshots just so I have the dates out, you know, remembered. But right. I went from 150 to like 600,000 followers within literally like a week.
What in the world? That is just crazy. That was recently.
Yeah, and it has a lot to do with the way you structure a video too.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have videos blow up, but they don't get a ton of followers because they don't know how to structure a video. You know, if you were looking for like tips, then it would be even having like a call to action and having people follow you at the end of the video,
right,
instead of them just watching a video, your video blowing up and you don't see any actual results out of that. So I structured it really well, and that's why I was able to get such a great return on that TikTok video. So over the next few weeks, it was getting reposted by so many different, you know, huge meme accounts on Instagram. So I was able to take my Instagram account from 10,000 followers to 50,000 followers within a few days too, especially after, you know, puberty having reposted it. And that's how it's been. It's just been me trying to figure out how to gauge that, me putting out similar content now.
Yeah,
writing that out as much as I can.
That's insane, man. I mean, I said congratulations for quitting your job, but congratulations just on how much you were able to grow it in such a short time. And if we're actually work, like you did work for it. It's not like it just because it blew up doesn't mean that you hadn't put in. It's like a compound effect. It never would have happened if you didn't do all the shit that you did before. So I guess my question that I've been thinking about for that is that, what did the people back home think about all this? Like, were they all like, we knew this is going to happen the whole time, so it was no surprise? Or was it like you came back and they were like, holy shit, like, this is insane. Like, I never thought anything like this was possible.
You know, it's kind of funny because really depending on the people that you're talking to, you get such a variety of different responses. Like,
for sure, yeah.
The friends who thought that TikTok was for like, you know, little dancing girls and stuff like that. You know, those same friends are like, you know, you don't find them to be like super supportive, because it's almost like after seeing something like that, it's almost like a lot of people are like in denial of there still being opportunity in that.
Yeah.
Even now, it's weird. Yeah, you just get such a variety of different responses. But the person that like really drove me to or supported me throughout my venture was my dad, who is also an investor. So he sees a lot of opportunity.
Right.
And you know, especially social media now, which is amazing. He's about 65 and has such a sharp eye.
He probably uses social media better than some people younger than him. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So I got the most amount of support from him, but right. You know, you look at like the naysayers or the people that don't find a opportunity in that, and their responses are almost the same as when it started.
Yeah. So they're still being shitheads.
Yeah, still being shitheads. So
even after all that happened, they were like, oh, okay, so we got lucky. Word. That's one-off situation that'll never happen again. They're not like, no. Oh wow, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on who you're talking to. I was on the phone with my friend's dad the other day, who ended up calling me a TikTok, and I was like, man, that is just so.
Was it
so
like a childish. Malicious, or was he saying it and thinking it was like a joke type of thing?
You know. It's funny because like that same guy, like you don't really get any support from him, but you look at the same guy and he's, you know, before having anyone speak into my life at all, I just look at their life and it's like, do they have something to offer me? Like, are they like living a life that is aligned with mine? Is there something that I could learn from them? Do I look up to them in a sense? And is there something that I could learn from them? And if not, then it's like, why would I let this person speak into my life,
right? You know? Yeah, and there's nothing to do with them.
Yeah. You know, it's real interesting hearing the variety of responses that you get.
Yeah. What are your points of view, or what are your viewpoints on just people who might not necessarily take that leap, and they just kind of accept what they're doing, or they kind of accept what life is when all you did was, you know, take a few simple steps, not simple, but you took a few steps and you are where you are now. And literally 2 years, do you look back and see other people and have certain viewpoints on it?
You know, I'm just living my own life. I'm just doing what it is that makes me so happy. And yeah. I'm a huge fan of the compound effect. And putting work in every single day is going to show. And you know, it is quite simple when you put it that way. It's like you just put the work in every single day and it just compounds over time. And doesn't have to be huge, but you just have to sustain yourself over a long period of time. My viewpoints on, you know, my friends or the people back at home that are living the exact same way as when I left 2 years ago is, I don't know, I just have so much acceptance and love for the way that they're choosing to live their lives. At the same time, you know, when I have a friend tell me about all of the things that they want to do in their life, or them wanting to go travel somewhere or whatnot, it's like, you have no excuse. I just have such a stronger, I'd like to keep those people in check and kind of be a friend that can show up for them that way. And be like, you know, this really, you know, what you're doing really isn't aligned with what you want either. Yeah. So what are you going to, you know, what are you going to do differently?
You're going to be their Luke and have them take the first step. Like actually say like, what are you waiting for type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I needed that person in my life, and I'd hope to be that for other people as well. But it's, what are you doing differently? You want something out of life. You wake up in the morning and you're doing the exact same thing as you were yesterday. That's
as long as you're cool with it, that's fine. Right. But like, if they're visibly and audibly unhappy, then totally. I think it's a little bit of a different story. I would think.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't want to go around trying to force some sort of lifestyle on people if they're happy the way that like,
exactly.
You know? Yeah.
But I know you mentioned, you know, wanting to make really raw film content and over the next couple of years. But do you have plans for the future? And if so, what are they in terms of, you know, continuing to grow your brand, continuing to push the envelope with travel filmmaking. You've already done so much, but it seems like you don't really have any intention of stopping anytime soon.
Yeah. So as on fire, yeah, you know, I am like real on fire about creating the TikTok and Instagram content, but at the end of the day, what I really want to be doing is putting all of my time into the travel films, and being able to work on TikTok and Instagram is just more closely aligned with what I want to be doing as a content creator, which is traveling and creating content. And if I could do that, then that's amazing. While I work on my long-term plans, which is to be a travel filmmaker and making films like that. What was the question again?
No, it was literally, I mean, I think you answered it for the most part. It was just really like, what are your plans for the future in terms of growing your brand and continuing to just kind of push the envelope with filmmaking? But I mean,
yeah.
If so there's all the way, out, that's great, but that was a great answer.
Yeah. I love budget travel. Don't get me wrong, but I also would love to go and experience some other countries that are maybe a little more unaffordable.
What would those entail? Like, what do you consider to be an unaffordable country?
I'm actually planning to head to Iceland in January, as well as possibly exploring Norway, and those countries tend to be expensive.
I wouldn't know that. I don't think the average person would know that. Like, I would think of New Zealand and Iceland as the same, within the same breath of price. So that's interesting.
Yeah. New Zealand, you know, and then heading over to Fiji and then now being in Indonesia are definitely a lot more affordable than growing up in the US. But if you're going to, go and eat a dinner out in Iceland, you're easily going to spend 40 US dollars and, 40 and up. So it's like the price differences are just insane. So, I would like to think of ways to, not just limit myself to budget travel, but to keep expanding my brand and really opening up opportunities for me. So now it's just brainstorming ways that I could, trying to think of digital products that I'm going to put out for my audience in particular, and then learning how to delegate work that I'm maybe not super excited about to other people that are really excited about that. So it's like building a little bit of a team. I'm working on
capitalism.
I'm, for example, I'm working on like a Bali travel guide, which is going to give people a ton of discounts. I'm connecting with a lot of local businesses, and that's what I'm good at. But I'm having somebody else write the entire piece for me. Yeah. I'm going to throw it all together at the end and then offer it up to my audience. A lot of people, I have been requesting that, as well as like custom made presets or like editing techniques on the photos that I'm putting out on my Instagram. And now it's just, my audience has, they know what they want, and it's just delivering that to them. And then ultimately being able to travel as well as create a brand at the same time would be amazing.
Yeah.
So that's like the general idea of what I have right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How much do you want to see yourself reach 1 million followers as much as I do? Because it bothers me how close you are to it. It's like I almost wish that we waited like a couple of weeks, because you probably won't be there by then. And I'll be like, I could have said 1 million. Like, how badly do you want that M next to it rather than the K?
Yeah. honestly, that's going to be a huge moment. I'll be popping the champagne bottles and things with all of my friends.
That's a ton of people.
To be honest, like, my audience has been fairly stagnant the last month. Because the last month I've hardly been putting out content. I think I hit one of the biggest burnouts that I've ever had in my life. I was hanging out with a YouTuber who really made it in what he was doing, but he was more so an actor than a travel filmmaker.
I really
got sucked into this guy's shit and into this guy's life. And it started to consume me after a while.
So you were working more on his content, or you were kind of trying, you were not making the type of content that you typically make?
I was making content that wasn't aligned with what I love to do. And I hit the biggest burnout that I've ever had in the last month, has just felt like this stage of recovery for me, which I was you know, I'm so blessed to have been able to quit my job, hit a burnout, and still be able to financially like give myself like a little bit of space. You know, nobody feels good all the time. That's a matter of fact. And it's unless you're insane or crazy. But so it was like giving myself some space to be able to jump back into it full swing. And yeah, just to like at the end of the day, I just want to do what makes you happy. And this makes me so happy. And if I'm unhappy doing it, you know, I almost at the end of my relationship with this guy, I almost started to hate filmmaking. I didn't even want to pick up my camera. Really, I was just doing, I was doing things that were misaligned with what I wanted. And, so yeah, I was, it was a couple of weeks ago that I broke free from that. We actually flew across the country to work on a filming project, together.
So when you say across the country, you mean where you are now, not across the United States.
No. Yeah. So yeah. In Indonesia, I flew
in Indonesia. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So we were running. flying across the US would be a different story.
Yeah. That sounds like a 20-hour flight.
From Hawaii to New York. Yeah. an island called Sumatra. I flew all the way across the country to an island called Flores. Everyone gets into this massive fight a night before. The guy was just acting like a total dick. And this was at like the end of my burnout where I just send him one message. I like verbally agree to a contract over WhatsApp too. You know, if you're in Indonesia, that probably doesn't stand very well as much as it would in the US. So I actually, I just sent one message where I was choosing myself first and I was like, I'm not going on this trip. So we ended up canceling that trip after I flew over there. And, I flew back to Bali for a bit of rehab. Yeah. basically I've just been surfing, creating content the last couple of weeks and it's been really healing for me. I'm going on a solo trip.
Realized that nobody's gonna see that you did air quotes over rehab. It's just gonna say they're just gonna hear rehab. Okay. You put air quotes there.
Okay. that's what it felt like. It felt like I was just in this dark stage of my life that I broke free from. And so now I'm just here doing stuff that's aligned with me, and that was such a strong part of my personal growth was saying no to that and choosing me first. And now I'm going on a solo trip on my own, just documenting the culture around Bali for the next, 3 to 4 weeks before I fly back home to Hawaii. So I've been stagnant for a really long time. The 1 million follower mark, definitely a long,
it might alleviate some of the pain here.
maybe that'll give me a bit of push too. But yeah, I've got all my goals written out on my wall. It's just a matter of checking them off.
Right. So this is a solo, you're doing a whole solo trip. This is kind of like what you did when you first got into this game and started to see some traction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to make any guarantees, but I feel like the formula's worked in the past. It seems like this is the track you're headed is probably around 1 million.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, damn, we should have done this a couple months later, but it's all right because this is a good-ass interview. Yeah. man, I appreciate you coming on. I think that anybody listening could get a ton out of just the fact that you've traveled the world and you're doing it on your own terms and you're making money from it. You were able to quit your job. This is exactly why I started this podcast and this website, to share stories like this. And I just thank you for coming on and being so open about it.
Yeah, Jay, thank you so much, dude. I'm literally getting like chills as you talk about that. You know, just follow what it is that you're passionate about, what you want to do, and that'll show up in your work. You know, whether you're making $1 billion or not, you know, at the end of the day, you just want to be doing what you're happy doing.
And that'll do it, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Success Bug. I hope you all got as much out of that interview as I did, because I certainly really, really enjoyed speaking to Jaro. Like I said on the interview, his exact story is exactly why this podcast was started. No matter what your background is, no matter where you come from, if you can adopt the mentality that work will lead to success, have the courage to take that leap of faith, then we really feel that it's quite possible that success in some form is inevitable. For Jaro, that's traveling the world, being paid to do it, and having almost a million followers across his social media channels. But for you, it could be something completely different. And hopefully this interview will inspire you to chase whatever that is. But that's it for now. Until next Friday, Marcus and I will be back breaking down the net worth of another celebrity or entrepreneur. You're not going to want to miss that. I've been 2 for 2, I think, over the past weeks in tricking Marcus into not knowing who it was over the past, over the facts that I give him. So you're not going to want to miss that. Super entertaining stuff. And we're going to have a good time doing it. And you're not going to want to miss it. If this is your first time tuning in, please don't forget to subscribe. If you really enjoyed this episode, it means the world to me and Marcus and our entire team at the Success Bug. We do this for you guys. And the larger that we grow this, the quicker that we can spread our message across the world. And that's our ultimate goal. So please, you know, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. We appreciate it all. Peace out, y'all. I'll be back next week. Have a great weekend.